Welcome to Christ Today. We thank God for growing our faith in Jesus Christ within us and for growing our love for one another within us. Let us always remember God's gift to us through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Let us be thankful to God for our numerous blessings and for our basic living conditions and our security. Our nation is so very crowded, that is, if we think of only the big cities in our nation, yeah, it seems crowded. But when we think of crowds, perhaps our mind goes to China, where we think of real overcrowding. But India? India is a country which has just about as much population as does China, and yet its land mass is ever so much smaller. That's about 1.38 billion people in India, and 1.38 billion people in China. That's a lot of people compared to the USA, which has 325 million. That's more than four times as many people in each of those two countries as the United States has. Of course, these countries can be considered as to where we would like to send missionaries. But we should not neglect our country either for the missionary field. Here in the United States, we all have some real blessings like electricity and cell phones and things, the food enough to eat. But that's not the way it is in every part of the world. Well, in India, it's said that only half of the population has a flushing toilet in their home. Amazing, isn't it? It's just a matter to consider the blessings we have. And in the Philippines, there are small remote villages where young men are recruited, or really they're kidnapped, into the communist guerrilla forces. They are held by force until their indoctrination is completed, and that's several years later. I know Don and Barbara Arney of God Reigns Ministries. They have worked extensively in the Philippines, and they tell the story about the very day that the communist guerrilla forces came to take, or let's say recruit, five young men into their guerrilla group. Well, it just happened that those five young men were in the process of giving their life to Jesus Christ, two towns away at their missionary school. Don and Barbara Arney have done so much work. This just happened last year. I mean this year. But these things are still happening, even in life today. There's things that just happen. So we thank God for the five lives that have been allowed to live free, to live and to love in the power of Jesus Christ, instead of being trained to steal, kill, and destroy, as would have been their lifestyle if they would have been indoctrinated into that communist guerrilla group living in the jungles of the Philippines, just waiting for any opportunity to overthrow the Philippine government. Well, that's just amazing that these things happen, even in these days, these recent days. And of course, it's so hard to imagine that we could have any conditions like that. In fact, we can't imagine it. But we always can be sympathetic to whatever the situations and conditions are. We can't imagine a lot of things that could involve our lives. We just can't. In our schools, we're only taught certain parts of history, for instance, so we don't understand what our history has been. We just don't get it. So even though there are similarities, there are things that happen all over, we just don't recognize it. Even in today's schools, there's a certain sense of anarchy that is encouraged. And anarchy can be when there is no authority which is recognized. That's what anarchy is. When we only think of ourselves at the moment, that is the only thing that is important. Well, that's what anarchy is about. So there's a sense that whatever idea is being taught or encouraged in today's society is a little bit like that. It's about thinking of ourselves all the time. How can we have what we want? And how often today have you heard parents ask their very young children, "What do you want?" As if that young child has the right to say, to tell the parent what to do. And that is where things are headed in a sense. And it's just based on what that child wants at the moment. They are creating a habit that is going to be difficult to break. So, well, yes, and we all should know what we want at the moment. It's not that that's not good, but it's not right for the children to rule over the house in that way either. So we have all these things to consider as we continue on in life and to try to make things work. Our goal, after all, is to be ruled by Christ, obedient to what Christ's will is. Yes, what is the will of Christ? But that orientation is hardly being taught, suggested, or even looked at as we go through life today. Well, whatever we have in our future, it's certainly going to be interesting. It surely is, because there's just things that are being set into people's young children's minds. And what will they grow up with? Well, it sure is a question. We do always have hope, though. And we are that hope. We are that light as Christians. We are hope and light in the midst of a dark and dying world. That's Christianity. And oh, certainly, there is a much brighter and more cheerful world to come. It's good. Yes, it's even lovely. It surely is. And that's the world with Christ in it. So we want to pay to our attention very closely and find out and examine that part which is good, because that's the best orientation to have. What is good? What is right? What is lovely? Yes, and often enough I talk about the troubles around us. It's true, I do, but it's only so that we can take steps to fix these troubles. It's not that I want you or me to dwell in these troubles and think about it, but I want to see how we can avoid trouble. And while we're doing that, think of the goodness, think of that which is lovely, and think of what is worthy of praise in God. Yes, that's what we really want to do. It's okay to look at things, the what-ifs, and that's just, to me, it's reasonable. We avoid potential trouble. Sometimes we avoid death even if we look at just what might happen. And I know it's not fun, it's not easy. I know yesterday I saw a business card that I was handed, and it talked about death services, somebody who was providing them. And I almost just instantly threw that card away when I saw it, because it's not fun to look at these things, trouble, death, anything like that. But it is something that is a part of life, and we all have insurance of some kind, so why not have a little insurance about what our needs just might be? That's a kind of insurance, too. So, yes, I talk about that. Get some kind of just-in-case insurance. It's not a bad idea. But you get to decide what the insurance is for and how much of it to get. So even in the midst of these holiday days, these festivities that we have at this time of the year, people do have accidents and they have situations come about. So in the midst of all these things, yeah, just keep your eyes open. Look, 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 look. Even though we do have wonderful things going on around us, we have record highs in the stock markets. We, on the opposite of that, we have companies that are going bankrupt. We have jobs that are being created. And on the opposite side, we have jobs that are being lost. And, or let's say in California here, we have our huge and expensive clean air costs. And that's good. But do we pay attention to the other side, which is that 30% of California's air pollution comes from China? It comes because the Earth rotates, and that air pollution comes right over to California. Well, there's just all sorts of things going on. Some things direct, some things indirect. Some things for our benefit, and some things seem to trouble us. So, as we look at all that, like I said, pay attention to God's goodness. Yeah, you can realize the trouble, and you can do something about it after you realize what it is. But look at the goodness of God. And I think a part of that Bible orientation is the lesson that we are to have grain in our storehouse. Have a storehouse. Have some extra things. And, you know, I talk about the 275 pounds of wheat plus oil plus sugar plus salt. That's enough to feed one person for 1 year if that's all you're going to eat. But sometimes all we can do is store a few pounds of rice and a few pounds, gallons of water plus sugar and oil and salt. But if that's what you can do, 5 pounds of rice, 5 gallons of water, then that's what you do. You do what you can do, and that's what you do. Do something. Do what you can. That's the big idea here. And I told you, I'm a history guy, and what happens over and over in history? Starvation. Starvation and war. Yes, we look in Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 13. No, Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. And they all talk about famine just before Christ returns, and also war and earthquakes. Famine, war, and earthquakes. Well, the consequences of having no food is serious. So I say, get some food, get some water, get some medical. Maybe get some defense. That's up to you. But people who have been in a difficult situation, they say, oh, not ever again. I will never be helpless again. No, not ever. So we learn from life lessons, and we can learn from the people who have had these very difficult experiences. But they don't want to have trouble again. They have learned their lessons, and we can learn the lessons, too, of when we read history. We see all the people who have starved, and we should pay attention to that. So now, in this time of plenty, when there are so many items of food available, we can go to the store and get food. That's just great. And so we do. We remember things that are lovely and hopeful, like we can get food, and we remember the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the hope of the world. And I'm going to read Luke chapter 2 because it's about the birth of Jesus, and that's the kind of season we're in. I know I prefer the old King James Version. I prefer it by far. But occasionally I read from another Bible, and one of those Bibles is the original Sacred Name Bible, and I use it to compare texts. I think it's a good idea to know the sacred names of God, and I agree that it's a good idea. I don't agree that it's a key point of faith, like some religions do, but I realize that there's an Isaiah passage in 52, 52:6, that says, "My people shall know my name." And how do you know God's name? Well, you have to say it. You have to teach it. God has different names. And that's why I'm choosing to read this version, this one chapter today. And I know that very often in the King James Version, you read the word for God is Yahweh, and the word for Jesus is Yahweh-Shua. Those are the names of God, and just maybe we should know what they are and pay attention so that we know. So I'm going to read chapter 2 of Luke because it talks about Jesus at Christmas time. And I think that this is a good reminder of the glory of God. Chapter 2. Now it came to pass in those days that there went forth a decree from Caesar Augustus for all the inhabited earth to be enrolled, which means taxed and having a census of them. That's what enrollment means. This enrollment first was made while Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all were journeying to be enrolled, each one into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because this was the home and the family of David. That's who he was from. And he enrolled himself with his wife Mary, who was betrothed to him, and she was being with child. Now it came to pass, while they were there, in the days that were fulfilled for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds in the same country, dwelling in the fields, and keeping the watches of the night over their flock. And a messenger, which was an angel, a messenger of Yahweh, stood over them, and the glory of Yahweh shone round about them, and they feared a great fear. And the messenger said unto them, Be not afraid, for lo, I bring you tidings of a great joy, and which shall be for all the people, that there hath been born unto you this day a Savior, who is the anointed of Yahweh in the city of David. And this to you is a sign. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there came to be with the messenger a throng of heavenly host, that is, other angels, praising Yahweh and saying, Glory to the highest, unto Yahweh, and on earth peace among men of good will. And it came to pass, when the messengers, that's the angels, had departed from them into heaven, that the shepherds began to say one to another, Let us go through forthwith, and go as to Bethlehem, and see this thing which hath come to pass, which Yahweh hath made known to us. And they came with haste, and found both Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. Now, when they beheld, they made known certain things concerning which they had been told about this child. And all who heard marveled concerning the things which had been told to the shepherds. But Mary was closely observing all these things and putting them together in her heart. When the shepherds returned, giving glory and singing praise unto Yahweh over all things which they had heard and seen, according as it had been told unto them. And when 8 days were fulfilled for circumcising him, then was his name called Yahweh-Shua, which it was called by the messenger, the angel, that is, before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of their purification was according to the law of Moses were fulfilled, they took him up unto Jerusalem and presented him unto Yahweh. Because, according as it is written in the law of Yahweh, every male that is a firstborn, holy unto Yahweh, shall they be called. And to give sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of Yahweh, a pair of turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons. And lo, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And this man was righteous and devoted, and he awaited the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been intimated to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the anointed of Yahweh. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought in the child, Yeshua, that they might do according to that which was customary by the law, and he welcomed the child and blessed Yahweh and said, "Now dost thou dismiss thy servant, O sovereign, according to thy declaration in peace, because mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the face of all these peoples, a light for the unveiling of nations and the glory of thy people Israel." And his father and mother were marveling over the things which were being spoken concerning him. And Simon blessed them, and he said unto Mary his mother, "Lo, this one is being sent for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign to be spoken against. And thou, through thy very soul, shall pass a sword, that reasonings may be revealed out of many hearts." And then there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher, the same. She was advanced in her years, and having lived with a husband for 7 years from the time of her marriage, she had then been a widow as long as for 84 years, and she was left in the temple with fasting and supplication, rendering divine service night and day. And in that very hour, coming near, she began to give thanks unto Yahweh and to speak concerning him unto all those who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had finished all things that were according to the law of Yahweh, they returned unto Galilee into their own city, Nazareth. And the child went on growing and waxed strong, becoming filled with wisdom. And the favor of Yahweh was upon the child, and his parents used to journey yearly into Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And then when he became 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the feast and completed the days. And when returning, the boy Yahweh-Shua remained behind in Jerusalem, and his parents noticed it not. They supposed that they were with the company, and after a day's journey, they found out he was not there. So they returned to Jerusalem to find him, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting amongst the teachers, both hearkening unto them and questioning them. Now all those who heard him were besides themselves because of his understanding and his answers. And when they beheld him, they were astounded. And his mother said unto him, "Child, why hast thou dealt with us so? Lo, thy father and I were in anguish when we were seeking thee." And he said unto them, "Why was it that you were seeking me? Perceived you not that I was in the courts of my father, where I need to be?" And they understood not the thing which he just spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was submitted himself unto them. And his mother was closely observing all these things in her heart. And Yahweh-Shua went on, advancing in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with Yahweh and with men. So that's just a little passage there that I wanted to read, because it shows at this time of year how Jesus came to be known to the world, and how the angels rejoiced and the shepherds rejoiced. And it was really an example of such a wonderful blessing that we have, and that we can have, and that we can have eternal life with God. That's salvation through Jesus Christ. salvation in heaven. We call it heaven. And all we have to do is simply believe in Jesus. Yes, simply believe. And then what? How do you demonstrate that belief? By your actions and your words? Well, we ought to study this each one for ourselves, because there are different Christian groups with different ideas. And I want you to read it because I want you to know for yourself, and not just to be told what it means, because the knowledge is for you to get, and the choice and decisions are for you also. Yes, my brothers and sisters in Christ, God gave us His Word, and so I say, can we read it and understand it? That's what we want. And I know for my fellow history persons, you can imagine it's only one book that you have to read. Only one book. It's the Bible. And then you can pass the course if you have the information. Of course, you can just listen to it on tape. That works good too. But we have something that we need to learn from. And if we read the book, we get a lot out of it. One book. Yeah, I remember in my old days, my university days, we would often have 8 or 15 books, history books, per class. That was not unusual in our upper division classes. So to read one book, pretty easy compared to reading 8 to 15 per class. But we just don't want to seem to do anything that is a little extra, to take a little extra effort. But I sure do suggest reading that good book, the Bible. Just one book. Yes, or we can listen to it on tape, or the CDs or anything like that, online. Lots of good choices. So, we get to learn about the condition of our heart towards God. And this is important. This might be the most important thing that there is. What is the condition of our heart? To be open to the Word of God, to love God. I'm thinking of Luke 10:27 there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and your mind, and love your neighbor as thyself. Well, these are all lessons in love. It seems like that's a theme. Well, it is a theme that's repeated so often, is the lesson of love, the lesson of caring for your neighbor. And that's right after Luke 10, towards the end there, there's the lesson of the Good Samaritan, where the man was giving care to an injured man. And that's a good lesson for us. How do we show our love? We show it by compassion. We show it by what we say. We show it by what we do. And oh yes, we all, often enough, we fall short on what we are called upon to do. But as with so many things, we just do something. Do something. It's better to start with something and do something than to do nothing. You can always have an encouraging word. Or you can pray. Praying is so good. There's so many things to pray for. Sometimes it's within our own family. Our own family members need prayer. And sometimes it's easier to show our compassion towards a stranger than a family member. It shouldn't be that way, but sometimes it's like that. And I have to add one little part of this. Loving someone does not mean to be vulnerable to their hurting you. Don't let them hurt you, but you show love by having compassion and concern for them. And sometimes it's not even with the life that they're living. Sometimes it's only compassion for their eternal life. It's always different in different cases. But eventually we are concerned for more and more people, and we want love to grow. We want Jesus to love us. We want Jesus to love them. their love grows on you and your love grows on them eventually. But we do have to be careful of those old hurting habits. The old habits of hurting one another. They eventually dissolve and go away. And you just remember to dwell on those things like hope. The hope of Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. And then we also want to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves in ways that we often do not understand. But by faith, we know that God uses all things. For each one of us, everything is different. It's an individual love and conditions, and we get understandings, and we grow in our love. And for all these things, we want to remember to pray. We want to remember to pray for the situations around us that we are involved with, that they are involved with. Prayer. Prayer is just so good. I know one of the things that I kind of grasp here is about prayer. Somehow prayer works with God, and it encourages the movement of God. It seems to be to have things happen which would not normally be available. But prayer makes all sorts of things available. So the answer here is pray without ceasing. I remember a few years back when I was a new Christian, there was an idea of praying without ceasing, and it made an impression upon me. This was a while back. It was before cell phones, when I carried a watch on my wrist, and I looked at it quite often. So I had thought about this, and I made a decision that every hour I should pray. And if an hour went by and I hadn't prayed, I would pray. And it was kind of easy to do because I looked at my watch more than a few times in an hour. So it didn't matter how long I prayed. It might have been for 2 minutes and it might have been for 2 seconds. The point is, I wanted to remember to pray. It might be for a person that I talked to. It might be for a person I had seen, or an ambulance I had seen or heard, or a situation that I had thought of. The point was, pray. And we all have people we can pray for. I think God brings them to our mind and brings forth the situations that are... they have some kind of a complication or a difficulty in them. So there are just situations all over the place for us to pray about. It might be about family. It might be about someone we just met or some situation regarding any of those things. Pray, pray, pray. That's the important thing to do. And don't forget, we want to pray for our nation. Yes, our nation needs prayer. We have so many things going on that are either complications or real problems. So we need to pray for the social situation, the political situation, and certainly the economic situation. These things our country needs. Oh, there's so many more too. But there's specific situations where our country has difficulties, real troubles. And we really, it would be good to pray for our country in all the different ways. Our world needs prayer too. You know, in Jerusalem, there's things going on. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We are told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we can pray for the Middle East. There are situations going on there that are, well, they're complex. And there is great strife in the Middle East. There's more than a few people who see that as the next place for a violence to erupt. Because the Middle East has a situation more than any other in the world where tensions are strong, tensions are rising. And I know I talked about North Korea last week. I do see that as a real danger. There's just things that could happen by surprises or by accidents. Yes, North Korea is a problem, but there are forces that are pushing North Korea into some kind of a compromise. Doesn't mean it'll happen, but we see there are forces at work, and the United States has agreed to have talks with North Korea without preconditions. That's a little bit unusual, but that's what's going on. We have to be aware that there's troubles that could erupt all over the world, and they could affect us in big, big ways. So pray, pray, pray. Do you remember that phrase, divide and conquer? That philosophy is going on everywhere in our world, and it always has gone on. Divide and conquer has been going on for eternity. Nah, I didn't mean eternity. I mean since antiquity. So all throughout time, divide and conquer has been a principle. Probably came from the Caesars, I don't know. But right here in the United States, we see this philosophy going on. We see divisions are growing instead of shrinking. And that means there could be any sort of a trouble coming. Our domestic situation, domestic unrest, could suddenly break loose and, in effect, explode. It could have even widespread violence. We just can only imagine what could go on if the divisions continue in our society, in our nation. If that ever does happen, we can be expecting some kind of a powerful clampdown on all of society and on all of our rights. So we surely do not want anything like that to happen in our country. Nope. So we have to pray for peace. We have to pray for getting along. And then we have to do our parts, because we're a part of this nation. We're a part of this country. And so we do our parts by getting along and speaking things about getting along and things about peace and how we each have a responsibility to follow that out. I know there's lots of divisions, people who are divided in our nation nowadays. Lots of people. Even U.S. citizens, they want to destroy our country. They want to see it deteriorate because it doesn't stand up to their expectations. They have higher expectations than a government can provide. Yep, so they are very dissatisfied, and their answer is to destroy the United States. It's too bad we have people like that. Well, over the years, I have met a few people with that view, and they are violent, and they just want to destroy our country. They see the injustices, but they don't see the other injustices that exist in other countries. They just blame the United States for all sorts of problems. Often enough, these people who have this view, they have labels, and some of them are anarchist, and some of those labels are radicals or an Antifa person. We just see people who want to have that label of maybe it would be a rebel. Maybe it would be someone to socially improve the country. Well, there's just people have ideas. There have been communists who have wanted to change the fundamentals of the country. And compared to other groups, the communists have kind of settled down because of the platforms that they once wanted, are mostly a part of current law or current policy from our government. The direction is going that way, that they wanted. Platforms would be such as the elimination or the reduction of private property, the weakening of individualism, morality, national borders, and the weakening of people's understanding of history. All these things make a people more easy to control and dominate. And that seems to be one of the things that is going on. So here we are, we're regular people, regular United States citizens, and we have to recognize where a path like this would lead. When certain platforms are carried out, they might be democratic, they might be communist platforms, they might be other ones of any other parties in the United States. But we have to look and see where these platforms will push the United States into, what orientation. And that's something that we all need to look at to see what the decisions we're making today will do, where they will lead, what they will do to the country. They will lead us to places that aren't especially good. We just have to think about it, make sure we understand it, and stand or vote in a way that reflects our views. So discern all that we can. Yes, be skeptical. Yes, be real. And see what these policies would mean in the long run. And also remember that there's people in the world who would lie to you, and they would smile and then take everything you own. It's just that's the way some people are. They're not the people that we want to associate with or believe. No. But there are people like that in the world. But while we do occasionally think of these things, we always want to remember our many blessings. Blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And that's where we want our thoughts to continue on, and to have a spirit of hope and goodwill towards men. Yes, that's a message for our day and our time. Still, we must stand strong and resist evil. There's a resist the devil and he will flee. Remember that? So we stand on the strength of the Lord, and we want to have his righteousness. Not our righteousness, but his righteousness, and that is love. And that is the Christian message. That's what we want. We don't want to have anything to do with those other things like hate and disrespect and debt enslavement. No, these are not of God. They are not of the biblical principles. God doesn't really speak against these things. God has goodwill and loving will to others. That's freedom. And freedom is also when we are free to worship God, the God of the Bible. It doesn't mean infringe on anyone else's rights, no. But we want to be free to worship God. And we want to do good and not harm. And to do this, sometimes it takes a lot of thought and even planning. We have to be careful of what we do. We have to be capable of thinking. We have to have that ability to see what we would want to do, how to do it, and how to deal with the whole questions. We recognize this. This is how we deal with other people. We want to. That's how we want them to deal with us, and we want to deal with them on the same way, with loving good will to do good. And yes, with gentleness, and yes, with compassion. And certainly, always, when we deal with children, we want these things. So, I know we think of dealing with other people, and it makes me think of that one line out of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Yes, we must remember to forgive. And again, that doesn't mean that we subject ourselves to being hit, I mean hurt, or vulnerable, or anything like that. No, it means that we forgive, and we give up the right to pay a person back, because God will pay people back, not us. God will pay people back. I know that the world needs prayer, and we need to pray for our country. There's all sorts of things to pray for. We can pray for our nation. We can pray for our state. We can pray for our area, our home, our neighbors, and our family. Yes, and if we look around, we'll see unusual events happening. We need to pray about those too. Sometimes they make difficulties for us. And here in California, here in December, there are 6 wildfires. In December! And the governor says that he expects to be fighting these forest fires over Christmas. I think it kind of shows the times we live in. They're not the things that we would normally do, to be think of fighting a forest fire at Christmas time. No, I think we better pray. Pray and pray and pray. Well, I've written down a few thoughts here, and I just thought I'd go over these kind of just for fun. I'm going to go over from one quick thought to another quick thought. There's no order. There's ideas you might agree with or might disagree with. I just have written them down in the last, this year. And so here's some thoughts. I know that just a couple of weeks ago I was driving and the radio got too much static, so I turned it off. And I said, that's okay. I'll just pray. Well, I did pray, but I was kind of surprised. No, I was really surprised by how many times I reached over to turn the radio on. It was a disappointing lesson, because I remember when I was younger, I would turn the radio off and just pray. I would pray just fine, but I was surprised how many times I reached over to turn that volume knob on, the on-off knob. Well, that's the thought. Another thought, Jesus is a name above every other name. And there is power in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. To look at religion, religion is dead, but Christ is alive. A gentleman is often enough a holy man who has power, but that power is under divine restraint. We want to set boundaries with gentleness and love. Carry out your life in the proper authority of Christ. Desire holiness. Sin steals our joy. Some people need drugs to make them feel alive. Jesus makes you feel much more alive than any drug could. Sometimes a person can't even give their life to God through Jesus Christ, but they can say to give God permission to take their life. God says to repent, which is to change. Does he mean to repent of your sin, or does he mean to repent of your unbelief of who Jesus is? How many churches does Jesus Christ have? One. God says, if my people will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. May we always remember to show love to those who are hurting. Listen to hear God. Sin has consequences, so don't even think about sin. After we truly accept Jesus and invite the Holy Spirit to live within us, we are not sinners by nature. Yes, we perhaps can sin, but sinning is not our lifestyle anymore. I'm not sure if Jesus liked the Pharisees or not, but he did love them. You don't have to like your enemy, but you can still pray for them. Maybe they can acquire God's love and be changed, and love you, and go to heaven. That would be great to have two people who didn't like each other, didn't love each other, to change and become somebody they liked and even loved. You want the peace and joy of Jesus to flow into us. Don't let worldly desires and the devil distract you from God. Become who God wants you to be. Jesus heals your scars and hurts. Our identity is no longer with our past misdeeds. Our identity is now in Jesus. Jesus is real, and he has changed me. We are saved by grace and changed by love. We are saved by grace and changed by love. Yes. There's so many things that we can think on. And I absolutely say read that Bible. It inspires thoughts. It orients our thinking to God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. So if you're thinking about what can happen in the future, there's just too many things why. Certainly, I talk about natural disasters from time to time. That's one thing that could happen. And if we were to have a natural disaster, I think you should have a few things in your car for just in case you couldn't get back to your house for a long while or a short while. Have some things in your car. Take them with you. It seems like there's things that are coming upon us. It's amazing the number of people who in the last few months have talked about economic collapses. I don't know what the answer is, but I know you want to have a little preparation. Do something so that you're able to get past a difficulty. I know every once in a while, and here I was thinking about the North Korea situation, or what if there was a nuclear accident? And what would we do? I think what you would want to do is have some kind of a shelter, tape it shut, and stay inside. Because with a nuclear explosion, there's the bomb that makes a whole lot of dust. It throws up all that dust. And if you get that dust on your clothes, you want to take your clothes off and put fresh clothes on, even shower. Shower with cool water because you don't want your pores to open up and have that radioactive dust settle inside your pores. Some people will even cut their hair off. The main threats are over in 2 to 3 weeks, but the longer-term threats can last even a year. Be prepared for all sorts of people who cannot handle the thoughts of having real serious difficulties. People get irrational. You want to be aware of that and just realize people are people, and that's what they do. We cope with things the best we can. Always have the things on hand that are for that just-in-case situation. Consider what those just very basic needs are. You know, I've gone over them before. Spiritual needs, water, food, toilet facilities, medical or first aid. Have your shelter and somehow secured in some ways. And then you have your few things that are just available. All sorts of things. Have these things for the just in case. You want warm clothes, probably outdoor clothing and walking shoes. You want your certain equipment and tools, water and food, batteries, flashlight, radio. All these things. Did I say medical kit? Yes, definitely. Communication is a question. Might work, might not. Vitamins, personal hygiene items, and a sewing kit. Maybe gasoline. Pet needs is another one. And have a backup plan. Always think about the what-if, just-in-case situations. Be a part of a community. And if you have to travel anywhere, go in groups. The United States no longer has a grain reserve, so you just think about that, what it means for your food needs. What would happen after some kind of a collapse? Well, we would have shortages of everything, including water, food, and electricity, and medicine. So we do what we can to plan, find something to substitute if we have medicines. It's all these things to think, plan, and do. The stores would close. The ATMs would close and credit cards would not work. Maybe we couldn't even buy anything for cash. A crime would increase and become commonplace. You never know who would become a looter, and our government would not be available to help. All these things put a new reality in the situation, and you want to pay attention to what your coping skills are or would be. These are all the things, but don't forget that spiritual needs that we have. We all need to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Whatever the situation, it can be from having a hard time with somebody close to you or a hard time with people you don't know. Somehow you have to rely on your spiritual relationship with God to get through difficulties. That really is number one. It is hope and love, but sometimes those are hard to remember. So we just think about getting along and doing the very best we can. Especially in this Christmas season, yes, you can think of the problems we might have, but also think of the blessings and figure out how to overcome any problems we might have. Remember that God loves you and all of us, and we want to be able to walk with God and for God to walk with us. Thank you for listening today. Burn inside.